Manol chuckled. Not until tomorrow. Now it's time to get home before Sisala thinks we've gotten lost in the jungle. At home was another surprise. I was welcomed by my friend Chaos from Dalarna in Sweden. Behind him was my dear wife. I'm organizing a party, she announced. Travelers need refreshments and food. You two can have a chat while I'm getting it ready. I've sent a message to Emily that we have a visitor. Chaos had quite a tale to tell. He'd already befriended Sisala and was delighted by my life companion. I asked him how he found his way to us, and he replied, "For a while, everything was normal at home. But after you and your grandmother left, it wasn't fun anymore. Emily and I had discussed Agartha, and I got hold of all the information I could on it. There wasn't much. Then I booked a flight to Manchester, and here I am. It was a bit hairy before I reached Tullow's and started asking people for you. Everyone knew who you were. It's great here. I don't know how long I'll be staying, maybe for good. What do you think? I'm sorry for your Swedish friends who will miss you, and I'm ecstatic that you've come," I exclaimed, hugging him. I told him about the amazing, magical kingdom he had come to, and invited him to stay as long as he liked. It took half the night to recount our adventures here. Sweden seemed very far away, but Grandmother was overjoyed to see our friend and she also had much to relate. Next headline. 32. A completely different China. Both Grandmother and I found that our memories had been renewed. This book is a product of that renewal. It's easy to forget your old life when your new one is in paradise. The following morning, Manol and Arnil picked us up for our next voyage into Agartha the Enchanted. As far as I could understand, land and sea on the surface were paralleled by land and sea here inside. We therefore expected China to be approximately where it was on the surface. However, nothing in Agartha is that obvious. Everything is very different than how it is on the surface. I had never actually been to China, only read about it and seen it in films. Both masters quickly introduced themselves to Chaos. Grandmother and Lex came too, so my Rolls-Royce was joined by another hovercraft that I referred to as the Audi. This amused Manol and Arnil. I don't know what I'd expected, but Titch and I alighted in the market square of a town. It was a large square, with other hovercraft parked around an attractive fountain. The Audi drew up next to the Rolls, and Chaos wobbled out, holding his head. Flying in a hovercraft is disorientating. Laughing, I put my arm around his shoulder and Titch added his support, nudging and shoving him. My enormous dog stood on his hind legs as though surveying the situation. He had taken instantly to Chaos and probably remembered him from Sweden. The jumbled images I remembered seeing of contemporary China were nothing like what I saw here. At one side of the lovely fountain with its two life-sized dolphins, a wide, gleaming street opened up. On the other side were bright, glittering roofless houses, climbing plants, and palm trees. A river ran down the middle of the broad street. In the distance were bridges, high, humpbacked bridges, also glittering. The people around were tall, attractive, and well-built. They were indeed dark-haired and dark-eyed, with high cheekbones, but they seemed to be made from mother-of-pearl. They were clad in fairly long cloaks in pale colors. There was no crowding. They all walked separately, bowing continuously and smiling in all directions. If this is where China came from, I thought, the country should return to its roots. The masters saw our surprise. All of us had our mouths hanging open, Val, Chaos, Grandmother, Lex, and I. We couldn't have been more flabbergasted. The masters beckoned us to hover across the street with them. The Chinese greeted us, bowing, and we tried to return their greetings as best we could. Titch gravitated to my side, raising a laugh when he bowed his head from time to time. Many Chinese had pets with them, and yet the street was quiet and peaceful. The pets were like ours, mostly cats and dogs and a few donkeys with bejeweled saddle cloths. We stopped by a building which resembled one of the temples painted onto old Chinese porcelain. It glowed in pinkish hues and was bathed in light. If this is where the Chinese come from, it's changed drastically on the surface, I muttered, and the others nodded in agreement. The outer world has the ability to transform, Anyola assented. That is why it must change again, in a positive way. We entered the temple. A pleasant incense aroma greeted us. It wasn't at all like a church inside, there was no altar and no pews. Instead, there were comfortable stools on a beautiful carpet. In the center was a golden rostrum studded with precious stones. Gentle music caressed us. It was empty but for the lovely, long-haired cats lying across the stools, regarding us with feline shrewdness. They weren't upset by Titch. I held on to him just in case, but he glanced at them nonchalantly and yawned. You are welcome to meditate a while or just sit in quiet contemplation, Manal explained. We have these places all over Agartha, we call it sanctuary. This is exactly what we need on the surface. Grandmother broke the silence. It's exactly what we're planning, Anil commented. It'll take time, but great changes are coming to the earth. Different religions must come to an end. The most sacred places inside us and can be discovered in a space like this. You can sense God here, my little grandmother remarked, putting her hands together. Amen. Do you envisage God as a kind of master? Val asked. I do too, actually. He's in another dimension watching over us constantly, grandmother announced with conviction. Manal looked at her and smiled. That's not really the image of God we have here, he pointed out gently. God is inside us all. We only have to listen to the voice of love. That's what Anil meant. Val sank down onto a stool, his head in his hands. I think he was crying. Compared to his tough religious upbringing, this was heaven sent. Grandmother and her husband sat down too, clasping their hands as we surfaced well as our wont to do. In the end, all of us rested on the soft, carpeted temple floor. Titch had his head in his paws and I knew he was content. Then we left. The whole town was a great, bright, joyous experience. We didn't meet any wise men or women, just happy, fulfilled people, children and adults. There weren't many traces of contemporary China to be detected in the original. It's the same with Japan, Anil said. We just wanted to show you how far negative influences have succeeded on the surface. However, each country has a soul where part of the original is preserved. That's why it's not too late to save the Earth. What exactly is going to happen? Val was obstinate. He was looking for the truth. Anil smiled. Preparations are taking place now, hence the hurry to show you the original. The Earth is entering a new phase, which will be full of disaster. Afterwards, the Earth won't look the same. It will be transformed and regain the enchanting beauty it once had. What about the people? Val was still on the case. What will happen to the Pope and the rest of the Vatican? Their destinies depend on their own choices, my boy. Many will end up here in Agartha. Some will relocate to other planets. There will unfortunately be many deaths, but even the souls of those people have a destiny. I don't really want to bring my dad here, mumbled Val, but it was a shame my uncle Reimfert didn't like it here. We had returned to our vehicles by this time and taken our seats, so the discussion ended. It was a hot day, unusually so for the climate here. I pointed this out and Manal replied. It's a result of climate change on the surface. We feel the difference more often now. It never used to happen. For the first time in thousands of years we are feeling the influence of all the hate and anger which pulsates on the surface and penetrates through the Earth's crust. We are still protected from the negativity radiated by the surface, but as more surface dwellers find their way here, we are bound to feel the influence. We are forced to batten down the hatches and wait for D-Day, when we will make ourselves known to the surface and try to save its inhabitants. I was just in time. Thank goodness. Chaos exclaimed. I'm hungry, Val announced, looking around the house. We had all come home in order to sit and discuss the events of the day. Only the masters had gone. I'll get something to eat, said Sisala. Sit down at the table and there will be food. Can't I get the food? Val asked, searching around the kitchen. There's nothing to cook here. I love cooking and I've cooked a couple of times at Edmund's house, only I'm not allowed to cook meat, though. Not here, either, replied Cicilla hastily. I'll create whatever vegetables you need, just tell me. My wife and Val spent some time in secret and produced excellent food for us. Val had insisted upon boiling, frying, and roasting, with brilliant results. The surface has lost a great chef, I commented, patting the young man on the shoulder. How do you think I survived before I got here? The money I stole from the Vatican didn't last long. I cooked in a few places, learning as I went along. I know that the residents of Toulouse create food by thought, but I love to use my hands as well. We enjoyed the meal, but my wife was exhausted by creating all the ingredients, some previously unknown to her. Grandmother was most impressed, and she kept eating and kept praising Val, suggesting he should become a master chef. It was fun. Val's entire face glowed with pride. I'll gladly do it again. It's boring not cooking. It's so organized here. We can't just eat when we want. Cicilla stared at him doubtfully. We've always found that easiest, she said. If you have a different suggestion, you should talk to the masters. I don't think they'd stop you from doing something you enjoy. You might teach us all something. Let's open a restaurant, exclaimed grandmother in delight. Val can be chef. I know it would be a huge success here, even without money involved. And that is exactly what we did, although possibly not quite as Emily had imagined. But that is another story. Next headline. 33. Another encounter with Saint Germain. I had always found working 9 to 5 very boring and could understand the lure of the sea for my father. It was unpredictable, exciting, and full of challenges. I'm not cut out for sitting at a desk doing accounts or organizing jobs for others, which are a waste of time. I want to surge forward, altering the plan of action, helping out, and playing with wind and water. I want to be myself without it becoming an ego trip. My new job gave me this opportunity. It also brought me the opportunity to grow, to see things in a different light, and to learn to live by cosmic laws instead of prejudiced and restrictive laws stipulated by people. I've always been interested in life, and now I had someone to be interested with. Manol had prepared me for visiting Saint Germain again. Apparently I had more to learn from this wise man. While I waited for Manol, and my wife was getting ready to come, my life up to the present ran through my mind for some reason. When I joined my father at sea on that fateful journey, my plans for the future were all decided. I was definitely going to follow in his footsteps. I wanted to be captain of a ship, at peril of the high seas. My plans were amorphous and naive, and I knew my mother didn't want another sailor in the family. I thought I'd be able to convince her and my sister, but that's not what happened. When Manol saved my life, my plans changed. There were new expectations, new discoveries, new targets and challenges. My thoughts and feelings focused on fitting into a totally new life inside the Earth. Right from the beginning I loved it and didn't bother with profound spiritual problems. I'd always believed God was a positive power, without needing a religion. It worked for me. Since meeting Cicilla, love has come to the fore. Agartha doesn't have religions, at least nothing which is forced on others. In the small temples I always feel happy and positive about life. I've left a lot of relationships behind. I don't often think about my friends on the surface, because my beloved grandmother is here and she represents all the friends and relatives I need. I missed chaos, but it's great now he's here. I thought about my new friends down here. Manol was the first one I met, and from the moment he rescued me and I came around in the boat, we'd become firm friends and will always remain so. Arniel is also a good friend. He has such a good sense of humor and is easygoing. Lex and Edmund, with their Indian roots, are lovely friends who I would like to know more. Valencio is a brilliant venture. He is like a son and is very versatile. I considered how the short time I've been in Agartha, which is actually many years, has brought me such a lot, and I'm deeply grateful to life for dealing me this hand and giving me the most wonderful wife in the world. Are you sitting and cogitating all on your own? Cicela laughed, hugging me. I glanced at her. She was a sight for sore eyes, hazy in shimmering white. Fresh roses replaced jewelry across her chest. Seeing my face, she laughed again. Don't worry about the poor flowers. I've borrowed them from a bush and I'll put them back when we return. You don't mind a bit of magic? It was a great honor to be meeting Saint Germain. I realized there must be good reason for him to see us, I just couldn't fathom it. I soon found out, Saint Germain the Master was impressive. We were conducted to one of the small, bejeweled temples to be found everywhere on this strange continent. Clad in a white cloak with numerous emblems and decorations, he greeted us and invited us to be seated on a round, emerald-green couch in the middle of the temple. Titch had stayed with Grandmother, just in case. His expressions of joy could be violent and undignified in such company. What a shame Titch isn't here, the dignified master commented, laughing warmly. You may have been expecting a telling off, but you shouldn't. You've earned the opposite, which Cicela is beautiful living proof of. I congratulate you on your conquest of one of the loveliest girls here. Her beauty is not skin deep, it's five-dimensional. You aren't five-dimensional yet, and that's why you're here. It is tiresome that Cicela has to constantly transform between dimensions, but this should not separate you. I thought I would become five-dimensional with time, I remarked doubtfully. It doesn't work like that, Saint Germain said, smiling. Being five-dimensional physically and intellectually has to be learned. This is necessary in your case. Your in-laws knew this when they approved your love union. Today you must make a choice. Do you want to transform to the fifth dimension and remain in Shambhala with your wife and future children, or do you want to stay in Talos where your friends are and meet your wife occasionally? This came as a shock, but I didn't hesitate. I want to transform and live with Cicela in Shambhala, I replied. My wife found my hand and squeezed it. Saint Germain and Manol both beamed. It means being apart for a while, Saint Germain continued. The education and treatment which Timothy needs doesn't take place here. He has to go to the House of Transformation in the mountains. He has to go at once. I'd like to tell Grandmother, I remonstrated. I can't leave without explaining why or telling her how God really is. Manol will explain to her where you are and tell her that the God within us is the only true God. The Master decided, I'm sure she'll look after Titch for you. Valencia will help her. Cicela will be at her parents' house while you are away. When you return, she will have found a home in the capital for you and the child. I almost jumped out of my skin. What child? I cried, staring at my lithe wife. Cicela crept onto my lap. Sorry. Saint Germain got there before me. She whispered. I haven't told a soul, least of all him, but he knows everything. You will be back in time for your son's birth. Saint Germain smiled and I felt quite peeved. He really did know everything. Timothy, say goodbye to Cicela and Manal, and then come with me. What about that job you offered me? I exclaimed resentfully. I would really like it. That was before you decided to become five-dimensional, Manal consoled me. You'll get a better job after this, and you'll be able to see twice as far. Your friends will have to decide which dimension they wish to live in, but it will take longer for them to become five-dimensional. Their usual course takes place in our wonderful library, Portologos. You will soon be reunited, but you must leave your wife just now. It was really tough, but it couldn't be helped. I hugged her firmly. Cicela dried a stubborn tear which had rolled down her cheek and then she left the temple abruptly. Even Manol had gone, and I was left with the honored master, Saint Germain. He took my hand, smiled warmly, and said, "Let's go." In a swift moment of swirling mist I found myself at the House of Transformation, high up in a snowy world where rays of sunshine found it difficult to penetrate the dense pine forest, only to be compared with Sweden's most northerly, most fair, and most luxuriant forest. Saint Germain and I stood side by side before a building that seemed carved out of the cliff face itself, the greyest, most closely veined and glinting marble I have ever come across. Next headline. 34. The House of Transformation. This book should end here, but I know that the House of Transformation is a name that will whet the appetite of my readers, so I feel that you must come with me. Everything had happened so quickly that I had no time to wonder what was waiting for me. It had all been so unexpected, so unpredictable. I followed Saint Germain in bewilderment and looked around me. The door was opened by a smiling man in a white cloak. He didn't have the shaved head of a monk. His hair cascaded in black waves to his shoulders. He bowed low to the master and indicated with his hand the direction we should take. We were in a light, pillared hall where the walls, doors, and roof seemed to be made of crystal. A crystal cavern, I thought. In the center of this enormous hall a fountain was playing, shooting forth multicolored water from a huge colorful shell. On closer investigation, this shell was open, glinting, rosy mother of pearl, with a shimmering pearl inside. It was the loveliest fountain I have ever seen. Saint Germain smiled while I admired the fountain, and then gestured for us to continue. Breathless with delight, I enjoyed the colors from outside reflected in all the glass. We went upstairs of glass covered in shimmering green carpet to keep us from slipping. I hadn't noticed before, but there were rugs on the floor to walk on. These were soft and shimmering, and served a purpose in this glass palace. We entered a door at the top of the stairs. This was a much smaller glass room, carefully lit. There were cushioned benches and a smooth wall of white marble, which I realized served as a screen. In front of this was a glass rostrum like a pulpit. I recognized the couple on it. I had met them at a party in Toulouse. We embraced as old friends and Saint Germain observed, "This is the classroom in the House of Transformation. I'm going to leave you, Timothy, in the capable hands of your friends, and we'll meet again when you've finished." He kissed me on both cheeks. Then he left in the usual way, he just vanished. Thus my conversion to the fifth dimension began. It was an enjoyable, exciting time, if demanding, and I never had time to be bored, even when I missed Sicily. We would soon be together again, and I was going to be at my son's birth, as promised. Unfortunately, I'm not allowed to tell you how I became five-dimensional, after an edifying slog. It's still classified information, but helpfully one day the whole of humanity will be able to share in this wonderful, cleansing experience. Joy is a major part of it, nothing boring. Continuous joy, laughter, song, music, dance, and the easy unity of the body and soul make life indescribably happy. My dear reader, if you don't believe what I have told you in this book, sit silently and listen to your inner voice. You will hear this in your own head and feel it in your heart if you seriously want to know if Agartha really exists. I assure you it does, but why believe me? You can find out for yourself. The time is coming when Agarthans will come to the surface as living proof. I'm laughing now. Gravity and humor coexist. Sometimes seriousness spills over into laughter, but hardly ever the reverse. Lighten up about your dignity, your capacity for influencing others, which is a form of control, and your wish to remain non-committal about belief and knowledge. Recognizing the God within you should go without saying. God equals the person or force in what you call heaven, an endless mass of constellations and planets of uninhabited gas bubbles. I'm telling you, God is everywhere. God is in your wonderful surroundings which we want to conserve for the future, in the flora and fauna outside your house which are so natural you no longer notice them. The whole of this beautiful, divine creation is being totally destroyed by people. This is a distressing image of the planet's surface. Should we accept it? We can't. The cosmos is reacting. A cosmic council exists, unknown to us. It won't accept that this blindingly lovely planet Earth is rent asunder by filthy hands seeking power and riches, instead of taking care of what there is. Dear reader, This book is to awaken a new consciousness in you, so that in these troubled times you can love the world. Think how you can help, and leave behind your apathy and selfishness. Love and empathy are the first steps on the road we must take. There are 6 other steps besides: appreciation, compassion, forgiveness, humility, understanding, and valor. Practice these 6 heart virtues and you will feel the fine winds of change embrace your body and soul. I, Timothy, from the 5th dimension, and Agatha, the 8th continent, have told you my story truthfully and passionately. Every word I have uttered is true, and through my medium, Mariana, I have brought the whole of humanity greetings from another kingdom. Agatha greets all brothers and sisters and looks forward to a future of joyful, friendly cooperation. Next headline. 35. Author's epilogue. I realize that many readers will doubt that Agatha really exists. So far it is very difficult to prove, but remember that in the past we stubbornly believed the world was flat. Timothy has been my friend. He first appeared in my home when I was sitting on my meditation sofa. I could see him clearly for a fraction of a second, and I'm not one to hallucinate. He was a young man, of Nordic appearance, tall and blonde, with a lovely, friendly face and strange, penetrating blue eyes. I didn't have time to see much more, but perceived that he was wearing white trousers and a white, ribbed polo neck. I could hear him quite clearly in my head. My name's Timothy. Originally I'm from Seattle, but I live in Agatha these days, he said, the world inside the Earth. The Earth is hollow. Don't you know? Agatha is a huge kingdom with many entrances, one of which I land on Mount Shasta in California. The reason people don't know about this world is that we've kept it secret to protect it. We don't want war or environmental toxins here like on the surface. We've created a toxin-free, moneyless, flowering landscape, and we want to keep it that way. The day is coming when we will contact you people on the surface, and you must write this book as preparation. Some people have already discovered us, including Admiral Richard E. Byrd. If you read this book, you will have some insight into the truth and love which are our realities. You will see how we live and it will be easier to understand. There are other books about Agatha in English, by Diane Robbins, Tillows and Messages from the Hollow Earth. Document Outline, Content. 1. Saved by Beings from Inner Earth. 2. Agatha, A Paradise Inside the Earth. 3. An Important Mission for Tim. 4. Sad Tidings in Seattle. 5. The Trip to Sweden. 6. An Impossible Mission. 7. Tim's New Family. 8. Back Underground. 9. A Tour of Tillows and Its Vicinity. 10. A Fond Reunion and a New Acquaintance. 11. A Fascinating Trip. 12. A Real Live Dragon. 13. Nancy and Ellie Return Home. 14. Meeting Saint Germain. 15. Magical Buildings. 16. Shambhala, A Paradise Inside the Earth. 17. An Exciting Encounter with Wild Animals. 18. The Love Union. 19. Back to Normality and Tourists in Agatha. 20. The Purpose of Pets. 21. Lessons Begin. 22. The Temple of Belief and a Meeting with Melchizedek. 23. Visiting the In-Laws. 24. The Cardinal from the Vatican. 25. Festivities in Agatha. 26. Visiting an Agathan orphanage. 27. How the Earth Will Change. 28. Indian Wisdom and the Fire of Life. 29. Old Mother Sjaluna's Gift. 30. With the Aborigines. 31. The Birthplace of Mankind, Africa. 32. A Completely Different China. 33. Another Encounter with Saint Germain. 34. The House of Transformation. 35. Author's Epilogue.